an examination of pork. You may have heard about a multi-billion dollar spending bill that Congress will consider in the new year. Lawmakers loaded that routine measure with thousands of incredibly specific items that benefit a single city or state. This month, Illinois Democrat Rahm Emanuel listed several items.
$50 million to build an indoor rainforest, $90,000 for an olive fruit fly research in France, $75,000 for a North Pole transit system.
Such projects can sound ridiculous, which is why they're listed in speeches and news stories. But when we heard those stories, we did a double take. Somebody must have thought this spending was worthwhile, so we've chosen two items for closer examination. They've both been mentioned in news reports about pork. The first commits $725,000 to the Please Touch Museum. Janet Rice Ellman of the Association of Children's Museums says that museum in Philadelphia caters to kids under age 7.
They have an exhibit that's based on the artwork of Maurice Sendak and his books. They have an Alice in Wonderland exhibit where you get inside the Alice in Wonderland story, and there's all of the interesting uses of humanities and science in terms of perception and distortion and all of those interesting concepts that are very vividly conveyed through the exhibit at Please Touch Museum.
Now, we're calling you because if this omnibus spending bill passes, the Please Touch Museum gets $725,000.
Right. That's right.
Does it surprise you that the Please Touch Museum would get this kind of money from Congress?
Not at all. The Please Touch Museum is exemplary in their programming efforts, their work with the community, with teachers, with Head Start providers, with preschools and all kinds of early childhood facilities. They're very well known within the children's museum field generally, as well as within Philadelphia and the educational community in the Philadelphia area.
There must also be some museums that are better than others at getting in touch with their members of Congress and their
senators. I think that's probably true, and Please Touch Museum certainly is well established. It has been in Philadelphia since 1976, and it has a long history of serving parents, children, and educators in the community, and I think that they've developed those relationships with their members of Congress over time.
What is the overriding national interest here that would compare to, say, national defense or any other things that the government does?
Well, I think it's important that the government is supporting informal education opportunities and recognizing that that kind of learning is very important as well.
Does it surprise you to see some of this funding labeled as pork barrel spending?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I think that any time a specific institution is receiving a specific amount of funding, that it's always going to be something that's examined closely. And I think that we as American citizens and taxpayers have a responsibility to examine it carefully and look at those line items. But I think in the case of Please Touch Museum and the other children's museums that are receiving this kind of funding, that the programs are deeply meaningful, very rich, and are wonderful examples of how children and families can learn together.
Janet Rice Ellman acknowledges that unlike the Please Touch Museum, most children's museums have to compete for federal grants. And that explains why some lawmakers criticize pork barrel spending. The political dealing gives some people an advantage and distorts the priorities in the federal budget. But people who favor the second spending item we've examined say their project, too, is essential. The appropriations bill includes $5 million to battle Formosan subterranean termites. These termites arrived on ships from China after World War II, and they've been wrecking wooden buildings in New Orleans ever since. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is fighting the termites, an effort coordinated by Dr. Frank Guyot, who spoke to us from a broadcast studio in the termite-infested French Quarter.
You could imagine a home that is, say, 75 foot long by 35, 40 foot wide. This is very typical of some of the old structures in the French Quarter area, especially the residential side of the area. And I've been in structures like that that have had significant damage to the support beams, the floor joists, as they're called, as well as the underlying support wood structure that holds the wall up.
How many Formosan termites might live in that house you just described?
The colony could be as large as millions of insects or more.
In one house?
In one colony, which potentially is in that house, that's correct.
And then they might spread to the whole neighborhood?
Well, there could be multiple colonies in a neighborhood. There's a park just north of the French Quarter called Armstrong Park. I think it's approximately 30 acres. There were 21 colonies in that park. And some of those colonies occupied a space that ran for 100 yards.
What makes these Formosan termites so difficult to kill?
Well, the problem has a history to it, so to speak, and it has to do with the products that were available for control of termites. Those products, the way they worked generally, was that they actually formed a barrier around a structure. Now, as long as there's not tremendous insect pressure, that was a strategy that worked quite well.
These chemicals that people used to put around the houses were almost like a Mississippi River levee, and now there's so many termites that the levee burst.
That's what happened. The barrier strategy simply didn't work because of the pressure of the large numbers of termites that are in the area.
So what makes this a national problem as opposed to a New Orleans problem?
Okay. The termite itself is established along a corridor from San Antonio, actually, all the way to Florida. If you just took a look at I-10 as it runs across the southern part of the country, just about every community along that stretch has termites, some much more so than others. We're constantly moving commerce from one place to the other. Therefore, the termite has been introduced, for example, into the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And that was done almost strictly by the movement of landscape materials.
So is there some sort of national strategy for dealing with this?
Well, that's what this was all about with the Congress appropriating funds in, I think, the first time it was in 1998. The general goals of this appropriation was to establish a national program. There's two key areas, control, new products, new strategies for controlling, as well as detection technology. There's a lot of emphasis right now placed on detecting these termites. It's one of the key problems that a pest control operator has when they come into a structure, just where are the termites? And that's not always evident.
Dr. Frank Guillot is the national coordinator of the Formosan Subterranean Termite Project at the United States Department of Agriculture, and he's in New Orleans. Dr. Guillot, thanks very much.
You're welcome. Okay, I've enjoyed it.
Oops, sorry about that. I've got a little sidebar from the control room. We are in a Creole cottage here in the French Quarter that was ravaged by termites, by Formosan termites, and I have seen literally clouds of termites that have run people out of the building on occasion, and they've spent I don't know how much money rebuilding this Creole cottage so that it's reasonably secure from the termites.
Well, Dr. Guillot, we've got that from the engineer there in New Orleans in the studio where you are. You want to take a look around, see if you can do anything for him?
Well, I think they've already taken care of their problem. I see one of the bait systems outside of the building when I walked in.
That's Frank Guillot and studio engineer Robert Dunn offering one more fact about the Formosan subterranean termite, the target of one of the so-called pork barrel spending items in the federal budget.